Hello, and welcome to the fifth in our podcast series on mental health. In this episode, I'll be talking about taking care of our well-being. At a personal level, there are things we can all do to help us maintain wellness, and we'll explore some of these useful tips and techniques to set us on that path. To structure this session, we'll focus on the five ways to well-being, and in doing so, take a bit of a guided approach to implementing daily or weekly practices that can help us to stay well. The five ways to well-being are not new. They were developed by the New Economics Foundation in 2008 and are used across healthcare, from the NHS Trust to charities and government. They're a simple framework of actions aimed at improving well-being and mental health. So what are they? Well, as the name suggests, there are five elements, the first of which we're going to look at is connect. As human beings, we're social animals, and on the whole, we have a need to connect with others. It helps us to build a sense of belonging as we develop our tribe or our people, whether that's our family or friends or colleagues, but they are the people who will offer us the mutual support and a place to share experiences, thoughts, and feelings. During the last 12 months, this lack of ability to be able to connect with others has been one of the hardest elements of the pandemic and resultant lockdowns. Many have found themselves isolated away from friends and family and unable to see loved ones. It's been a huge impact on well-being. So it is really important that we find ways to connect with others and maintain relationships. Whilst we've been very fortunate in many ways with the advancement of technology, it's also shone a light on the disparities of those who lack access to equipment and the internet. For sure, this has been a huge problem for families who during the pandemic have been at home trying to work and perhaps homeschooling children. And if you have more than one child and you're trying to do a job, who has, you know, six or seven laptops at home and lots of space for everybody to go off and work at different levels on different projects? I would suggest not many. So it's been hugely problematic. Despite that, what it has done is enabled us to stay connected in ways that we would not have been able to do, certainly 15, 20 years ago. And it's enabled us to be present with people, even when we've not been able to be in the same physical space. So some of those technologies you're probably very familiar and conversant with now, as long as you've got access to Wi-Fi or mobile devices and you've got 4G, 5G, even 3G, then you are able to use applications such as Zoom, Skype, Microsoft Teams. And certainly they've been the main go-to platforms when it comes to work and doing meetings and staying connected with our colleagues. And increasingly, particularly on Zoom, it was becoming more and more a common space to share with friends and family. Lots of people I know were doing quizzes and drinks parties and having them take place online. But it meant that you could actually not only speak to and stay connected with people, you could see their faces. All of those accounts were free, and making them free, it enabled us to stay connected without there being another implicit cost. Other apps that we could have used on our mobile devices, we've got WhatsApp, FaceTime, Telegram, Facebook even, giving us the opportunity to make calls where we can actually see each other through the screen. This has been increasingly brilliant for those who have families who are either scattered across the globe, but even more so, even within the context of our home countries, where we might not have even been able to go to the next town, village or city to see family and friends. But it's about thinking about other ways of staying connected with our loved ones and our colleagues and our friends that isn't just about technology. So whilst it's given us great opportunities, it's not the only thing, and nothing beats actually being in the same physical space as other people. That 3D world that we probably are all craving at this moment. And it's really important that as lockdown eases, that we make those plans to see family and friends. because that will keep us buoyant and give us some joy. Arranging to see people outside initially, obviously, making sure that we're following all of the COVID restrictions, and as they ease, that we continue to do so. You know, having plans in place is a great way of maintaining your mental well-being, knowing that you've got something to look forward to, and there's going to be a point, you know, in a week or maybe a month's time where you'll actually be able to spend some quality time with people whilst you stay connected using other devices in the interim. Don't forget, we still got the old telephones. Calls and texts can be just as useful in terms of letting people know that you're thinking about them. There's also the lost art of letter writing. And I think we forget the joy that you can get from receiving something in the post. There's nothing like getting a little card that says somebody's thinking about you, or a letter. And the great thing about written pieces is that you get to keep them. They're there forever, and it's something to look back on. So don't forget those little simple things. If you're worrying about someone or thinking about someone, that it's not just about making a phone call or jumping on a Zoom. Send them a letter or a lovely little card. And it's just a lovely way to stay connected. Make sure that you take time to spend time with your family. If you're with your family at home, you know, you often think, well, we're all in the same house. We're under each other's feet. We're there together all the time. But it's actually about that quality time. We've heard that saying lots and lots of time, certainly during lockdown. But switch the telly off, play some games together, go out on a walk together, but spend time where you can talk freely and make sure that there's a real connection. If you're isolated or have been spending a lot of time over the last 12 months on your own, as many of us have, then think about where you might be able to offer some opportunities around volunteering, because that's another way of connecting with other people, as well as giving support, but a way of meeting new people, new friends, and new opportunities. Be aware that social media isn't the only place we can connect, and that, you know, quite often what's on social media isn't real. You know, we all want to be living our perfect lives. We're trying to measure ourselves up to what everybody else is doing. But don't take it all on board. Take it with a pinch of salt. Certainly during lockdown, I'm sure we've all seen those that have completely owned it, redecorated their houses, started to grow their own fruit and vegetables, become a master chef. Do what you can. Second on the list is be active. You know, and it has been shown that engaging in physical exercise is as effective at treating mild to moderate depression as other methods. You know, sometimes we might feel so low that we're not able to engage, but where we can, there are some really simple and effective methods. Being active doesn't have to mean, you know, running a marathon or pumping iron or swimming the channel. It's everyday simple steps that are great ways to increase good mood. And probably the simplest of those is going for a walk. Going to and doing that kind of exercise releases endorphins, which are the, you know, the feel-good hormones. Make sure that you commit to doing that every day. So many people I've spoken to during the 12 months haven't even been outside from one day to the next, and probably only twice within a week. And it's really important to get out, especially if you can, to get into nature, because it's good for grounding you, breathing in some fresh air. So find your local park, your local towpath, old loop lines from disused railways, anywhere where there's a bit of greenery. And even if you can only manage to get outside for 10 minutes, commit to it every single day. And write it in the diary. Do it as if it's a meeting commitment. It could be lunchtime, whether it's in the evening, whether it's before you start your working day. Particularly if you are home-based, it's really important that you step away from the laptop and the house and get outside. Quite often, we're all getting stressed and anxious about the work that we're doing, and we can often lack clarity. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's felt this kind of fatigue of being locked in as we have been, and it's kind of clouded and muddied our brains and our thinking. So going out is a great way to kind of release some of that tension, but also to get some clarity on our thinking. And what you might find is when you come back to the task or the challenge at hand, you've got much clearer thought process on what you want to do and how you want to do it. If you don't want to walk alone, look at your local Ramblers Association. Now coming back to doing regular small group walks And it's a brilliant way of making new friends, of staying connected, and just getting out and going and exploring new places that you probably hadn't thought about before. And it's a great way to take on that little exercise. So you're doing a couple of things there. You're taking the exercise, but you're also connecting. There are many free apps if you want to start a fitness journey. All I will say is, don't jump straight into the deep end. Check with your doctor if you've got any pre-existing health conditions. Make sure that it's sensible. You know, there's lots of things like couch to 5K, for instance. The NHS have some great links, particularly if you're disabled, and they've got some great links to exercise tips and techniques that you can do there. I'll share some in the links that will come along with this podcast, so you can click on some of those and find those out. There's some great how to start guides, for instance. But find what you love. That's the most important thing about exercise. It's got to be something you enjoy. You know, gardening, dancing, walking, running. And also it's a great way of getting friends and others engaged and making a point of meeting regularly. So the third thing on our list is learning something new. So as well as keeping our physical bodies active and in tip-top condition and as good a shape as we can, it's also important to not forget our brains. As I said, that lockdown fog has certainly been affecting a lot of us. But learning something new can have such a positive effect on us as individuals. It can help build our self-esteem. There's a massive sense of achievement once you've completed something. I don't know about you, but I'm sure one of those people that has kind of taken on some learning over this period. Back to bite size. There's still access to some of those courses. Screen Skills have been doing lots of courses online. The brilliant thing is they're all free. And one of my favourites has been the Open University. And they've got somewhere in the region of 400 free courses. I'll drop a link again. There'll be links that'll come along with the podcast so you can have a look at some of those. They're everything from 2 hours to 20 hours worth of learning. And it covers a whole gamut, a smorgasbord of areas of interest, from languages to arts to sciences and all points in between. So there'll be something that'll pique your interest, and it might be the start of a new journey for you. Don't forget that learning new skills can open up more opportunities, particularly for us freelancers, where we're always looking to see that we've got, you know, the right things in the right places and more to offer, so that we've got better chances of getting those opportunities as they present themselves. And equally, notwithstanding that, thinking about the power of arts and craft, making and doing, in terms of our mental health. There's a reason that arts and mental health have a natural relationship, and lots of organisations offer arts on prescription. It's a great way of letting go, but of kind of totally focusing and engaging and staying in the moment and connected with what you're doing, even if that's colouring or painting, learning an instrument. There's also cooking. It's not about becoming master chef. It's just about trying something new, making an effort to cook and make food from scratch. It's such a great way to connect with what you're putting inside yourselves, but also with others. A great way to come together with friends and family. All those DIY projects you've maybe set aside that you might want to explore and think of ways in which you can do them for yourself. If there's something you've always wanted to do, then now's the time to learn and try. Certainly something I've been doing over this period is around new technologies and what's free and open access out there. So blogging, if you're interested in writing, podcasts, hello, this series for me, as well as other podcasts that I've been doing. And looking at technology like Zencastr, a free, brilliant app that you can use to record your podcasts on, and other free apps such as Audacity for editing. It doesn't have to be qualifications based. This is not school. This isn't about beating yourself up because you're not good enough. This is about making yourself feel good. So finding what you love and learning more about it. The fourth in our list is taking notice. I'm sure during this time, we have all been so wrapped up in the stress and the pressure of this pandemic, whether that's impacted us directly through lack of work or loss of work, or we're trying to balance work and children and, you know, all our other areas of our lives and aspects of our lives if we've got to care for others outside of our own family unit. So there's incredible pressure that we're always thinking 2 and 3 days in advance, so far in advance, you know, we're planning, we're prepping, we're proposing. And actually, we've lost sight of the present, being in the moment. But actually, it's really important to take notice of now. Where are you now? To think about some mindfulness, clickable links in the podcast information for you to have a look at. But actually, this is about, more importantly, checking in with yourself, possibly something you don't do. We're always worrying and checking in with everyone else. How are they doing? Can I do something here? Can I do something there? That we often forget about ourselves. And it's important that we check in with ourselves, because if we don't, we will push ourselves to a point of breaking. We need to be mindful of what our bodies are telling us. We need to get better at setting boundaries, and we're responsible for keeping those boundaries and making sure that they're not trodden all over. We can only deal so much. And if we want to continue giving to others and being around for others, then that starts with ourselves. Because if you make yourself ill or you push yourself over, then you can't give from an empty cup. You won't have anything to give from. Your single most prized asset is you. Without you, you can't do any of those other wonderful things that you might do. So think about that and make that space and that time. In terms of that, think about all the things that you can put into practice. Maybe thinking about doing some meditation practices. Just simple, basic things. This isn't about trying to, you know, meditate for hours on end. Even if you only give yourself, when you wake up in the morning, don't go straight onto your devices. Give yourselves 5 minutes before you even get out of bed. Give yourself some positive thoughts, some positive ideas of what you're going to do with your day and your time. Pay attention to how you're feeling, and then you can rise and deal with the day. Try not to get sucked into social media or worrying and checking emails before you've even got out of your bed. It's not a great way to start the day. So take notice. It's also useful in terms of taking notice of others. Quite often, people are not good at expressing verbally how they're feeling. So it's picking up on those subtle changes, which you can only do if you take time to take notice. And finally, I just want to talk about giving, because it's the last in our five ways to work. Now, whilst I've said previously there that, you know, we can't continue to give from an empty cup, if we are in a good place, there is nothing better than being able to give to make us feel good. And I'm not talking about that whole Christmas scenario of, I'm going to give you this because I want something back 10 times bigger and better and it's going to be wonderful. This is giving selflessly. So it's giving of your time, perhaps. So we talked earlier about volunteering. There's possibly lots of opportunities now. Locally, there have been lots of groups springing up with that mutual aid. So have a look in your local area. Is there something you can get involved in, which will have a double impact? Because it makes a connection for you, you'll meet new people, and you'll be giving your time, which will make you feel better about yourself as well. And if you've not got that time to do the volunteering, there are simple things you can do, even within your own friends and family group. One of the greatest gifts we can give to others is to listen actively, to give up those two ears, to close that one mouth. There's a reason I've said two to one. We seem to use our mouths, obviously, a lot more than we use our ears. And this isn't listening with the intent to speak. So it's not about trying to solve everybody's problems. There's no expectation when you listen to someone that you've got to solve their issue. They just need somebody to offload on. And in doing that, you've given them that opportunity. And it's a great gift to give. So think about ways in which you can do that. It might be that you've given, donated financially over this last 12 months. Great. There's a real sense of achievement and accomplishment in doing that, in that you're helping others. But it is really great for our mental health and well-being if we can do something for someone that's within our power to be able to do it. It's a great feeling and it makes you feel good. I hope I've shared some useful little tips and techniques over this little conversation. as I say, there'll be some links. One of the links I'll also give you is around a little exercise, if you can get into the habit of doing it. It's called the stress container, and it's one I've been using over the last 12 months whilst I've been doing mental health and well-being sessions. And it's a little exercise of just writing down all your stresses and worries and anxieties, because quite often they're bouncing around in our heads, taking up space, valuable space, that could be used for being a bit more proactive. The act of writing our worries down sometimes is enough to reduce them and allow us to let them go. But in doing that, we're actually looking at them objectively and finding a way we might be able to do something about them. List things that you can do. Be proactive. So it's, if they are things within your control, then take the control and list the things that you're going to do to help you with those stresses or anxieties. If you've written something down that's completely out of your control, then you have to learn to let it go. You cannot change things you have no control over. And all that anxiety and worry and stress about it won't change the fact that you still will have no control over it. So find the things you do have control over and work proactively and effectively at making a difference there. And again, you'll have that sense of well-being at accomplishing those things that you might have thought were beyond you. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, our final podcast is with Emma Mamo from Mind. Again, giving some more useful tips and hints and techniques. Look after yourselves and take care.